discuss with you is the appointment of Yehoshua ben Nun in this week's parasha. That means that Moshe actually does a smicha and he appoints Yehoshua to replace him as the leader. Let's just take a look for a moment at the psukim. I'll read to you the relevant psukim in the parasha that we read a few days ago. First, it says that Moshe asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find him a replacement. Yifkod Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ish Al Haruchos. And then it says in the end of Perek Chof Zayin of Sefer Bamidbar, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Kachacha es Yehoshua bin Nun Ish Asher Ruach Bo. And at the end, the very last pasuk in Perek Chof Zayin, Vayismoch es Yodav Allah Vayitzaveh. And indeed, Moshe implements the mandate of Hashem, and Vayismoch es Yodav Allah, the extra word Vayitzaveh, apparently means that Yehoshua would be in charge, as the Rambam says, of transmitting the Torah. Yehoshua basically is chosen as the leader of Klal Yisrael under two major capacities. Number one is to transmit the Torah. Yehoshua becomes the final authority on the Torah. And number two, Yehoshua is in charge with leading Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, Lahanchil Lahem Es Haaretz. If we have time, perhaps we'll talk about the relationship between those two responsibilities that are imposed upon Yehoshua. But we're going to focus our attention on the role of Yehoshua with regard to the transmission of Torah. Now, before we begin, I want to quote to you a Gemara in Masechta Erevin. It's an Agadita on Daf Samach Gimel in Erevin, and a very difficult Agadita. You remember that when Eldad and Medad were prophesizing in the Machne, Vayan Yehoshua ben Nun Misharis Moshe, Vayomer Adoni Moshe Klaim, Moshe, you should destroy them. And the word Nun in Yehoshua ben Nun is written in such a way that the Gemara darshins that Nun here refers to Beno. And the Gemara basically says that Kol Demosif Mili Kami Derabe is Ozel L'Sha'ol Belo Vlad. Which means, literally, that someone who says words in front of his Rebbe in an improper way will leave this world without children. And the Gemara applies that rule to Yehoshua. Yehoshua, he stepped over the bounds, he was out of place, if you will, by saying, Adoni Moshe Kla'em, as if to say that these two Nevi'im will chayev misa for what they did, misnabim b'tocha machne. Now, this punishment, says Rashi in Masechta Erevin, is because Yehoshua was guilty of violating the prohibition of mora halacha b'fnei rabba. Imagine, because Yehoshua took a stand on an issue in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he shouldn't have done so, the punishment is so severe that, as the Gemara says, he's Yotzei L'Ozil L'Sh'ol B'lo Vlad. Now, let's just think for a minute, what motivated Yehoshua? Did Yehoshua really want to undermine the authority of his Rebbe Moshe? Chas v'shalom. He did it for the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he felt that these Nevi'im were undercutting Moshe Rabbeinu. It was what you call kina, a zealous act, lichvod rabba. But it doesn't matter. Despite that, it's considered mora halacha b'fnei rabo, and he is punished with the most severe punishment of holech l'sha'ol b'lo v'lat. What we see from this is that mora halacha b'fnei rabo is not because of being pogea b'kvod rabo. There must be something even more fundamental, so that even if Yoshua is doing this l'chvod rabo, and he says Moshe Klaim, nevertheless he's being punished. That's the Gemara on Samach Gimel, and the Gemara there applies this principle of Mora Halacha b'fnei rabo to the case of B'nai Aaron. You remember that two of Aaron's sons died, Nadav Aviu, and the Gemara offers many different possibilities as to what their sin was. According to one man, Diomar lo mesu Aaron b'nei Aaron achahoru halacha b'fnei rabo, that they were mora halacha in front of their rebbe, and as a result, they died. Now, the Gemara goes on to tell a story about one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had a Talmid who is Mora Hora, Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. And Rabbi Eliezer said to this Talmid's wife, who is called Ima Shalom, T'miani im Yotzi Zeshnaso, I doubt if he'll live out the year. And that's exactly what happened. He died within that year. So she said to him, to Rabbi Eliezer, Naviata, are you a prophet? How did you know that he was going to die, Rabbi Eliezer? What, we never knew that you were listed amongst the Nevi'im. Amar La, the Gemara says, he responded, Lo Naviani, V'lo Ben Navi, Elakach Mekublani, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbeim. It's a tradition unbroken. Kol Amora Halacha B'fnei Rabo Chayv Misa. That because he was Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabo, he had to die. The severity of this sin, even though this is a Pegiya undermining the Kvod Rav, but why would it be subject or worthy of the death penalty? And not only that, Rabbi Eliezer could have been mochel on his kavod. We know that if a person is the cause of someone's punishment, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, "Mi shenenash chavero al yado." If a person is the cause, the source for someone else's punishment, is ein machnisen also b'mechitzas shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that as a result of the fact that Rabbi Eliezer's Talmud was mora hora b'fnei rabo, his Talmud died, Rabbi Eliezer was the cause, couldn't have he been mochel on his kavod? And the Gemara establishes in Masechta Kiddushin that Rav shemochel al kvodo, kvodo mochel. It's only a melech who can't be mochel on his kavod, but a Rav, because Torah dileihu can be mochel. So why then did the Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer have to die? One more Gemara that I want to add to you, to the list of problems, is the Gemara of Masechta Me'ilah and Daf Yud Zayin. There the Gemara is talking about Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi. They were walking on the way and a question was asked in front of them, and Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi wanted to give an answer, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai sort of cut him off and he said to him, Al Yachzir Aben Eitzel Aviv. Rashi says that you will be punished Bishum Shemora Halacha B'fnei Rabo. And once again, it would seem that Rav Shimon bar Yochai had the ability to be mochel on his kavod, and he didn't do so. What we want to do now, Rabosai, is we want to see a piece in a book, a very important book called Sichot Musar from Rav Chaim Shmulev. It's the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. He quotes a Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Dalet. The Gemara says, Ki Asi Rav Dimi, Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar, he declared, Yud Ches Klolos Kilel Yishayahu Es Yisrael. Veloniskara Daito Acha Omar Lehem Amikra Azeh. And the Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Yishayahu Anavi. Now, what are these Yud Ches Klolos? Of course, Yishayahu Anavi was the lover, he was like the father of the people of Israel. Why would he impose curses on Bnei Yisrael? Rashi says, Klomar nisnabe aleihem yudches peronios. That what he was prophesizing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was 10 different punishments, 18 different punishments that would befall the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that yudches klolos heim shelo yimatsu b'Yisrael lo bali mikra, lo bali mishnah, lo bali talmud, lo bali agada, lo bali shmuos. Amongst this long list that the Gemara enumerates of predictions and prophecies of terrible things that would happen to Bnei Yisrael, they would be bereft of scholars who understand Tanakh, who understand the Mishnah, who understand the Gemara and the Agadita, lo bali shmuos, which is a reference to Torah Shebaal Peh, v'lo mishi yodea lisa v'litein b'malchamta shel Torah. They would not be blessed with scholars who could engage the people in a Talmudic dialectic. V'lo dayan, they would not have amongst them judges, shedan din emes lamito, who would deliver a true verdict that reflected the halacha. V'lo navi, v'lo melech, v'lo misha roi leishev b'yeshiva. Rashi says, what does it mean, leishev b'yeshiva? Shenotlin mimenu eitza b'chol dvar chachma. Someone who you could refer to as an advisor to give you answers on any questions. U'b'chol elu lo niskara daito. And we don't understand what the Gemara means, but the Gemara says that, as if to say these 18 different klolos were not enough. In other words, there's even a worse situation that could exist. Now, what could be worse than Klal Yisrael being bereft of all the scholars, of a king, of a prophet, of someone who can answer questions, of a judge? All this would be lacking. But yet, we haven't reached rock bottom yet. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yerucham, he says, Ein ze ha-matzav ha-garua biyoter. This is not the worst situation that we can imagine. Adayin nishar mashu b'Yisrael. There's still something left amongst the Jewish people. And finally, the last curse is when Yeshayahu in Perek Gimel says, Yeravu hanar b'zokein v'anikla b'nichbat. And what does that mean? This is the matzav ha-garua biyoter. It means that the na'arim, the younger generation, will have no respect for the older generation. That's the bottom barrel. Azkvar ein shum dover chas v'sholom b'klal Yisrael. There's nothing left to the Jewish people once that level has reached. Now we understand that mora halacha b'fnei rabo, a student, a disciple, who takes the law into his hands, so to speak, has the audacity to make a decision and hand down a verdict when his Rebbe is available to answer those questions, that already fits into this description of a nikla b'nichbad, of taking advantage and lowering the honor of someone who has such respect and should be revered, the scholars and the rebbeim of the generation. So again, we're not talking about the Avera being pogea b'chvodo. What we're talking about is a situation in which the Talmud considers himself greater than his Rebbe. And the statement of Rabbi Akiva quoted by Yikra Rabbah, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Nimshalu Yisrael La'of, that the people of Israel are compared to a bird. Ma'of hazeh, eno poreach b'lo knafayim. It's the wings of the bird that carry the bird through the sky. Kach Yisrael,
Einam yecholim lasos davar chutz mizikneihem. Without their elders, who carry them, so to speak, on their wings, they cannot achieve anything. Nireh, what does this mean? Sha'af al pisha umos ha'olam yecholim lasos is called mashem osim. The af below zikenim, the amongst the nations of the world, the younger generation could control society, and society will continue to exist without the zikenim. But Yisrael ain't okay. That's not the situation for Klal Yisrael. And just as an animal can fulfill its role and exist in this world without wings, the oaf, on the other hand, without its wings, it won't be able to exist. Biologically, it's in a very dangerous situation. It's worse than an animal because it has the capacity to fly with wings. So the umos ha'olam can exist without their elders. They're like the animals that walk around without wings. But Klal Yisrael, if ein lehem zekeinim, if they don't have the elders of the generation, what's called Einei Yisrael, the eyes of the generation that will guide them, Einam Yecholim Lasos Klum, they're a worthless nation. And that's the worst curse that Yeshayahu could mention in his prophecy against the Jewish people. And that's why Rabbi Akiva says that the people of Israel are compared to the bird. And without their zekeinim, they're like birds who are destined to die without their wings. Why is the onesh, why is the punishment for Mora Halacha of Nei Rabba so severe? It has nothing to do with the kavod for the Rav. We're not talking about Ruvein the Rebbe who's insulted. But rather, through this insult to Ruvein, we're going to a much more abstract level, a much more general level. We're being Mevatel, the Mala of Zekeinim of Klal Yisrael. In other words, what's happening is, in one particular situation, there may be an insult, a fault against so-and-so. But conceptually, that's not the goal, so to speak, and that doesn't engender the terrible punishment. What it is this is an insult to the status and the need of Zekeinim who play such a role in Klal Yisrael. Dach al yidei shana arim nishmaim l'Zekeinim. What makes the Jewish people unique? It's the fact that the younger generation have respect, they want to listen. They mevatel themselves in front of the zekeinim. If the younger generation doesn't recognize the significance and the role that the zekeinim have to play, then Klal Yisrael are considered like a people without zekeinim. When each Talmud will decide that he's going to be Mora Halacha Liatzmo, then Ibdu Klal Yisrael as a Zekeinim, they basically lost their Zekeinim. And then the final klola of Yeshayahu Navi, Yerhavu Anar Bezaken, Vanikla Benichmod, will come to pass. A Rav should not be mochel on his kavod when someone is Mora Halacha Befonov. Why not? The answer is because what's at stake here is not his own personal kavod. But rather, even though on a personal level he could be mochel on his kavod, and kvodo mochel, as we mentioned before, the Gemara in Kiddushin, but nevertheless, what's at stake here is the kiyum, the existence of Klal Yisrael. The future of Klal Yisrael is at stake. And on that, he doesn't have to be the right to be mochel. So again, if a Talmud insults his Rebbe in one way or the other, the Rebbe could be mochel. But when the Talmud takes the law, and he hands down his own psak, he rules on a halachic issue in the presence of his Rebbe, that's not something that the Rebbe should be mochel on. Because what's at stake here is undermining the status of the Zekeinim of Klal Yisrael. The Talmud is not recognizing that the Zekeinim are the ones who guide us, and without them we're totally lost. Yitachen, it's possible. Shalachen eno bichlal mishenenash chaveru al yadav. If you recall, we had quoted the Gemara in Masechta Me'ilah that spoke about the fact. I'm sorry, I stay corrected. We spoke about the Gemara in, where was it? In Erevin, right? That the Gemara in Erevin says that if someone is punished as a result of your not being mochel on his kavod. Yeah, it was Gemara and Me'il, actually. I was correct the first time around. It's not always good to correct yourself, right? But here, it's not considered that his friend was punished, his Talmud was punished because of him. Because the punishment is not because the Talmud was pogea in this particular Rebbe, but because the Talmud is undermining the very existence of Klal Yisrael. And Rabosai, this really brings us back to our original discussion about Yoshua ben Nun. Here in the parasha, when the Torah says, Vayismoch es yadav ola vayitzaveihu. The word vayitzaveihu is miloshen tzava. Tzava is a last will and testament. It means that Yoshua is now given the task of continuing Klal Yisrael, maintaining Klal Yisrael. And that's what the smicha is all about. If the Rav would be mochel on his kavod, if the institution of this kainim is undermined, then Klal Yisrael is in a very dangerous and precarious situation. And now I want you to keep one finger on the paragraph that starts Amru Chazal on page Kuf Lamed, and fast forward, if you will, to Kuf Lamed Aleph, the paragraph that says V'zeh Inyan. Chazal said in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, Afilu Kara Vishana, a person studied Torah and he learned the Mishnayis, he knows Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh, but V'lo Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, he hasn't, literally it means serve Talmid Chacham, but we're not talking about physical service. It doesn't mean bringing your Rebbe a cup of tea. What it means is learning your Rebbe's understanding of Torah, his methodology, his way of thinking. He's considered Hareza Amaretz. You can test him and he'll pass with flying colors. And yet, in halachic terms, the Gemara establishes he's an Amaretz, he's an ignoramus. Why? Because he's lacking Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Mevu'er Sham, the Gemara explains in Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin, that even if he has under his belt Sifra, Sifri, Hilchasa, Kol HaTorah Kula, he's still considered Amoretz. Why? Because Shalosh Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim. Ein Adam Yochol Litol HaTorah V'Atzmo. A person cannot take the Torah for himself. Elohim Seres Lo Mi Rabo. The Torah has to be transmitted to him from his Rebbe. V'Rabo, and his Rebbe in turn, Kiblo Mi Rabo, accepted him, accepted the Torah from his Rebbe. Mesiras HaTorah is Ish Mi Pi Ish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu Shekibel Torah Mi Sinai. The Rambam, in his introduction to Yad HaChazaka, to the Mishnah Torah, the magnum opus of the Rambam, he says that there are 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi. And then after he delineates each one of the 40 generations, every link in the chain, Eluheim, Rav Ashi, who received the Torah from Rava, Yoshua mi Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu mi Pi Agvura, and then the Rambam adds a beautiful phrase, Nimtza, it comes out, Shekulon me Hashem Elokei Yisrael, all of them received the Torah from Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This means that even Rav Ashi, who's the 40th link in the chain, many generations after Moshe Rabbeinu, he received the Torah from Hashem Elokei Yisrael, directly from Hashem Elokei Yisrael. How could that be? The Torah was given to each one, Me Hashem Elokei Yisrael. The answer is that if the tzinar, if the pipeline is continuous and it's not cut, if there's no breakdown in the Mesorah, then the Hashpa'a Elokit, the divine influence, comes through all these intermediaries, from Rava all the way back in an unbroken chain to Moshe Rabbeinu, from Elohim, from Elokei Yisrael. Every last one of them in that unbroken tradition has received the Torah from Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That's the diuk, that's the emphasis that we have to find in this introduction of the Rambam. And furthermore, he says, the Torah is transmitted to Klal Chachmei Ador. Vayachid Mechuyav Lekabel Marusam Afilu Hu Gadol Hador. Interesting. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz claims that the Torah is given to the general mass, so to speak, the Klal of Chachmei Yisrael. And therefore, even an individual member who might be top, banana, he's top on the list. He's the Gadol Hador. Nevertheless, he has he has to be subjugated. So he has to be subjugated himself. He has to mekabel the marus of all the klal chachmi Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Eliezer that he didn't want to accept the opinion of the Rov, of the majority of Chachmei Yisrael, even though he was the Gadol Hador, he was punished. They put him into Nidui. Nidui is the punishment for someone who's pogea in Kvod Torah. And he stayed in the situation of Nidui for the balance of his life until right before he died, because he didn't accept the moros, the authority of Klal Chachmei Yisrael. And now we can go back to Kuf Lama, the paragraph that starts Omru Chazal, the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Beis, Minoha Milsa the Amri Inshi Chamri Lamari Tivusa L'Shkia. We'll see what the Gemara is talking about in a second. V'samachta Es Yodcha Olav L'man Yishmu Kol Adas Yisrael. In the case of Yoshua ben Nun, Chazal emphasized that he was Molei Ruach Chochma. He had the wisdom of Hashem that filled him to his very essence, to his very fiber of his being. Ki samach Moshe es yadav olav, because Moshe gave him smicha. Vayishmu elav b'nei Yisrael. And the people of Israel accepted Yoshua as their leader because of the smicha that he received from Moshe Rabbeinu. Pirish Rashi explains, Hayayin, the Gemara refers to Chamra, it's the wine of the Melech, of the king. Vashosim also, and those who drink from the wine of the king, royal wine, as we say, Machzikim Tova, L'sar HaMashkim, Vilola Melech. It's ridiculous at face value. Why do people owe a debt of gratitude to the Sar HaMashkim who's in charge of divvying out the wine? What about the Melech? What about the king himself? I mean, after all, the wine belongs to the king. So Chamra Limore, the wine belongs to the master, to the king. Vitivusa Lishakye, and we owe a debt of gratitude to the Sar HaMashkim, to the one who pours the wine. And the Gemara proves that phrase, that idiomatic phrase, which is very popular, is based on a pasuk of Ki Samach Moshe Yadav Olav. Says Rashi, yeah, Tola HaChochma Vagdula V'Moshe Ke'ilu Hu Nosna Lioshua. The Torah attributes all the Chachma and the Gdula of Yoshua to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is owed a debt of gratitude. He gave the Chachma to Yoshua. But v'hi'ena elam mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in truth, all this Chachma comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Moshe's Chachma. Moshe is only transmitting the Chachma to Yoshua. Horo lanu chazal b'mashal zeh. Chazal are teaching us with this metaphor. Shekshem shayayin shel melechu. Okay, excuse me for just again. Just to review the last point that we made based on the Gemara in Bava Kama, we're going to see the following. Rashi is going to teach us with a mashal about the wine of the king. And I'll read, Kishem Shayayin Shel Melechu. Even though the wine belongs to the king, but nevertheless, Ief Shel Orchim Leireid Lemartefo Shel Melech, the average rank and file citizen has no right to go down to the cellar of the king, Litol Biatzmo Sayayin Amuchan Bishvilo, to take the wine and help himself. But rather, who's in charge of doing so? It's the Sar HaMashkim, correct? El al karcham zkukim heim with Sar HaMashkim. Sheyitol hayayin misham v'yaviyeh lefonav. Kach, now let's see the nimshal. Again, that was the mashal. Kach gam hachochma vagdula shenitnu leYoshua. All the wisdom and the greatness that was bestowed upon Yoshua, Me'akadosh Baruch Hu Nitnu, obviously the source and the root is from God. Ela shaloi yachal kavlam el al yidei Moshe. Yehoshua has no access, no possibility of gaining that wisdom except through the conduit of his Rebbe of Moshe Rabbeinu. The lulei shesamak Moshe yadav olav. What we have here in Parshas Pinchas, when Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands over Yehoshua's head and gives him smicha, without that lo hayachol litlan biatzman, Yehoshua would have no access to the greatness and to the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch, that HaKadosh Baruch was offering him. Sha'af shalom shalom nasan Moshe Yehoshua, even though Moshe is giving Yehoshua that which is not his, but rather belongs to the Melech, but nevertheless, even though it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aval Hashpa Avra Al Yodo Dafka, it could only be transmitted to Yehoshua through Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore all the gratitude belongs to and is owed to Yehoshua. I'm sorry, to Moshe. Just like the case of the Saramashkim in the Moshe. And therefore we understand the opening line of Masechta Avos. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Mesor Li Yehoshua. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah from Sinai, he could not take it himself, right? Moshe Kibel, he has to be passive, he has to be the recipient. So too, Moshe gives the Torah and transmits it to Yehoshua. V'lo kibel Yehoshua elamashe nosan lo Moshe. Whatever Moshe decides and has the potential to give over, that's what Yehoshua could receive. But Yehoshua cannot receive anything more than that. And that's what smicha is all about. Shetzarech sheyeh nismach samuch mipi samuch ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The smicha has to be unbroken. A chain that takes us all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Afilu higia l'mala zulio samuch. A person can reach the level of knowledge in which he's worthy of smicha, but if he hasn't received smicha, eino nasa samuch liatzmo. He cannot take smicha for himself. He needs someone to bestow the smicha on him. V'tzarech she'edafka samuch ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The smicha has to eventually go back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu in an unbroken chain, because that impact, that influence, goes from Rav to Talmud, and from the Talmud who becomes a Rav to his Talmud, ish mi pi ish, the efshal li adam lito me atzmo. And now we come to the basic question of today's discussion. So how was it, why was it that Yehoshua was chosen, ish asher ruach bo, to be the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu? And the answer is Shimush Talmidei Chacham. Lo Yamush Han Mitocha Ohel. This Mishares would never leave the Ohel of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Yoshua Shireitcha V'hirba Lecha Kavod V'ayamashkim U'mariv V'beis Havad Shalcha Hu'ayam Esadres Asaf Solim Hu'ayam Poreis Esavach Tzolos. He, Yehoshua, was the one who organized the Torah so that Moshe could transmit the Torah to Klal Yisrael. He gave all his effort and all his energy. Now he's ready to serve the people of Israel. And therefore, Hashem commands Moshe, Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun is the one through whom the bracha of Notzer Te'ena Yochal Pri should come to fruition. And therefore Chazal say, Gadol Shimusha, Gadol Shimusha Yosemi Limuda. This is Yehoshua who is Mishares Moshe Rabbeinu. The only other paradigm we find of a Mishares on that level is the relation between Elisha and Elio. And you remember when Elio goes up in the chariot to the Shamayim, Elisha declares, Avi, Avi, Rechav, Yisrael, Parashav, you are my father. And the Rebbe is responsible for bringing the Talmud into the next world. Just like a biological father brings his children into this biological world, so too by parallel, the Rebbe brings his Talmud into the world to come. But only if the Talmud is Meshamesh his Rebbe. What is Shimush Talmidei Chacham all about? It doesn't mean, as we said before, just setting up the chairs and the tables. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means to understand, to embrace the entire worldview, the Ashkafa, the methodology of his Rebbe. My Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Salvation, used to say about his father, Rav Moshe, that I don't know how many blood I learned from my father. Maybe it was 500. But that's not why he's my Rebbe Mufak. It's because my entire understanding of Torah, my understanding of the neshama of the Torah, of the methodology that Allah Torah, all came from my father, my Rebbe. And so these two roles, the father role and the Rebbe role, merge into one. And that's why Tosfos in Masechet Pesachim asks the question, what do you do if you're at the Seder table of your father and you want to do a seva and it's not respectful? You have to ask for mechila? Says Tosfos, no, there's an assumption that your father will be mochel you. But what if your father is your Rebbe? He's your outstanding Rebbe. Here you have to ask for mechila. In a case of a father, the relationship is one of ahava, pure love. But in the case of a talmid at the feet of his Rebbe, it's a relationship of yira. And therefore he needs mechila. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Ksuvos, and Tosfos quotes the Chazal, that Shibush Talmidei Chacham is so important that when Rabbi Akiva encountered a mes mitzvah and he wanted to get involved in burying the dead, Chazal say he was involved in a greater mitzvah at that time, in being Meshamish the Gedolei Ador. It was so critical for Rabbi Akiva to absorb every moment with his Rebbe that he would have to defer on the great mitzvah of burying the dead. Someone else would have to get involved. And we see this over and over again, that Shibush Talmidei Chachamim is the key to becoming a Talmid Chacham, to becoming the next link in the Mesiras HaTorah of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, that Yoshua was the first to greet Moshe Rabbeinu on the 17th of Tammuz, when Moshe came down from the mountain after 40 days of receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. How was it that Yoshua was first? And Rashi says in the name of Chazal that Yoshua pitched his tent at the foot of the mountain. Says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, why did he do so? Couldn't he have stayed in the Machne? He had to leave his family? And he could wait a few extra minutes till Moshe Rabbeinu would make it to the Machne. No! Yoshua didn't want to miss out on even that one, that moment of opportunity, or a few moments in which he could accompany Moshe Rabbeinu and learn from him. And the Ramban, at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, says that Klal Yisrael, Hayu Klal Yisrael Gedolim, Hayu B'Klal Yisrael, excuse me, Gedolim Yosef Yoshua. At the beginning of Parsha Shlach, when the Torah enumerates the Meraglim, the Ramban and many other Mefarshim understood that the order, the sequence, is according to the order of Gadlus. Yoshua is number 5 on the list. That means that there were 4 members of Shiftei Yisrael that were greater than him, that were sent on this mission to scout out the land of Israel. Mona Akosuv Lefi Malosam, and Yoshua is number 5. So why is Yoshua chosen to replace Moshe Rabbeinu? The Baal HaTurim makes the question even sharper, because the Baal HaTurim say that each one of those who was sent on the mission, the scouts in Parsha Shlach, you know that in Parshas Yisro we learn that in other words, these were the poskim or the rabbanim for 50 at a ratio of 1 to 50, and here Yoshua was number 5 on the list. It's mind-boggling. Could you imagine what the Sori HaMea were like and the Sori HaLofim? There were so many that were greater in my love from Yoshua. V'afal piche, nevertheless, socha Yoshua, Yoshua is chosen, lismanos lenasi al Yisrael. And why? Mishum sheshimei shes Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Chazal mean. G'dola shimushi yosem iludu. There were many other scholars who knew more, they could be tested, they'd do better on the exams. But since Yoshua was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore Huchshar Lekabel Mimenu Es HaHashpav HaChachma Elokis, he was the one who would receive the Chachma Elokis. And to conclude our discussion, I want to share with you the insights of the Sfarno here in Parshas Pinchas on the Pasuk that says, Omar Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kach lechas Yehoshua ben Nun, Ish asher ruach bo. What is this ruach? And the Sfarno quotes the pasuk in Parashas Truma that discusses Bezalel, who is given the task of building the Mishkan, and the Chachmei Lev. And he says the Chachmei Lev had Ruach HaChachmah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon them Chachmah. The question is, if they already had the Chachmah, so what does it mean that Hashem bestowed upon them Chachmah? So the Sfarno expands and he says, they had the desire for Chachmah. Someone who has the desire, he craves Chachmah, Hashem could shower upon and bestow upon him Chachmah. Yehoshua, Isha Sharuach Bo, is the paradigm of Ruach Chachmah. He epitomizes the desire and the craving for Chachmah. And that's why he is chosen amongst all the members of Klal Yisrael. Just to summarize the main points that we discussed, why is it that Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabo is such a severe criminal act that it deserves the death penalty? Why is it that the Rebbe would not be Mochel and should not be Mochel? Why is it that we find over and over again that if a Talmud is not given the proper respect to his Rebbe, he may not even live out the year, as the Gemara establishes? The answer is because the Rebbe represents the Mesiras HaTorah, the transmission of Torah. He represents the Dor of Zkenim. If there's no respect for the Zkenim, then there's no chance for the successful transmission of Torah. Yiratzom be his will. And I say this on Shavuos of the Talmud, the day in which Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, because Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he could not function as the Omen is Yisrael, as the nursing father of Israel. He could not transmit the Torah that he brought down from our Sinai to the people who reached this level. We have to be zoche if Hashem will give us the ability to accept, to receive the Torah of our Rebbeim. The Torah in the broadest sense, it's not just how we calculate Dapim of Gemara, but the whole ambiance, the whole kit and caboodle of the Torah, the Nishmas HaTorah, the souls of the Torah. And if we do so, if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we crave Chachmah, how much we see Yehoshua ben Nun as the paradigm of one who loves Chachmah, then Emir Sashem Bizocha to Torah, to pass the Torah on to the next generation, to the Na'arim, to the Eladim, who receive the Torah, to the Tinoko Shabbos Rabban. And then we'll be zochem Yirtz Hashem to the great wisdom of the Torah. Kein Yiratzon. Amen. I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone and to apologize for a number of technological barriers that we faced. And we'll go now to prepare for Bayrev in a few minutes. And thank you all. If you have any questions, I apologize that in this particular case I'm pressured for time. Please send them in to me. The best way, of course, is by email. Shkoyach, thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, Shkoyach. Again, I apologize that there were so many factors here that I tried to... Shkoyach, yeah. We did most of what I had prepared. I mean, we didn't finish it.
You still have the voice.
Yeah, it's the end of the fast. It's the third year I gave today, so I'm a little exhausted.